Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
I think I don't even know where to begin. Not because you're lazy or because you want more, but because you're exhausted and drained, financially overwhelmed, and you're trying to rebuild yourself while still carrying the weight of everything that broke you. Today's episode is about what happens next. Over the last few episodes, we've been walking through the deeper layers of survival with Candy Keffler. She is the author of Never Far Too Gone, and she's been telling us her story of redemption after going through a ton of challenges to start over in her own way. And so we talked about losing yourself through lack of boundaries, the silent years nobody saw, and the moment she realized she wasn't too far gone to begin again. But today we're talking about something incredibly real, and honestly, that all people are secretly terrified of. How do you actually start over when you have nothing? You have no money, you have no path, you've got nothing in front of you, just a glimmer of hope in your heart. So this isn't inspirational quote version of what you're supposed to do. It's not the perfectly filtered Instagram version either. This is the real version, the version where you're emotionally shattered, financially unstable, unsure of yourself, and still expected to somehow keep going. And what makes this conversation so powerful is that Candy literally lived through it. She knows what it feels like to stand in the ruins of your old life and wonder, how do I rebuild from here? So it's great to have you here back again. How have you been?
I've been good. Life's good. I've been really good this week. So excited to be back.
Amazing. So everything changed for you. Your whole life shifted. In the last few episodes, you talked about leaving your husband and surviving cancer. I want to start with that moment after everything changes. The moment where you're like, oh my God, I'm out of this. And now what? What did starting over actually look like for you emotionally?
Well, it's one of the most emotionally trying things a person can do, right? When you'd lived in survival mode, fight or flight mode for years, half my life. I'm 54 now, and I literally lived there for half my life. Just 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, is when I finally decided I needed to make a change and do something different. After you've survived trauma, illness, divorce, abuse, all of those things, it's hard to even know where to begin to start over. What I did is I just took it basically. I mean, I just took small steps at first. I didn't try to change everything overnight. I just realized that one day that we talked about it before, that I didn't even recognize who I was. I literally lost my whole identity through this whole process of all these years of living in chaotic situations and just survival mode, fighting for my life. And I didn't change all at one time. I didn't just, you know, wake up one morning and everything was fine after I decided to change. There's inner work that's involved. You know, I was in financially over my head. I was literally starting from scratch after all of this. And there was a lot of, you know, outreach that I had to do with, you know, people that, you know, I kept in the dark for years about what was going on in my life, my parents, my sister, you know, my kids knew it, but they didn't know the extent of it. So reaching out, you know, to those people and really getting real with them and telling them exactly what was going on and how bad it really was. That was the first start for me, is just reaching out and telling somebody. We had talked about before that when you say it out loud and you really admit to yourself as you speak it out loud that it's true and you have to do something about it after you say that, it became really real. And that was where I first started making that change in my life.
Yeah, it's, I can relate to that feeling of like starting over and kind of being alone in it. And then eventually you crave connection again and you want help, you want support. And so like a little step, like, you know, calling your family and telling them, okay, this is where I'm at right now. And that can be so terrifying too, because it's like you're having trouble managing your own emotions, never mind someone else now knowing what's happening. But then you feel supported and then you begin to heal and the emotions start to surface and you can deal with them. Was there a lot of fear attached to beginning again? And what did your family say? And how did they react? What was that like?
Absolutely, a lot of fear. I was scared, how was I going to do this? I was so far in debt, so far my health was deteriorated. I had breast cancer. I had lived, I looked back on my life and I thought, what have I made of my life? I'm my 50s now, and this life that I've chosen is just a mess. And so, yeah, there was a lot of fear, a lot of guilt of having to admit just how bad it was and how, all the things that I've been hiding behind closed doors, with and carrying it all on my own. It was a lot of fear. But you can't start healing and compare yourself, through when you want to start rebuilding. You can't, I don't know what the words are, but it's just you have to work through that fear. Your mind's a powerful thing. I realized that when I got alone with myself a lot and just started talking to myself and really going over how I'd been living. And you get some really good answers when you get alone with yourself and just start, meditating and just talking to yourself. And the mind's a powerful thing. If you can train it to do what you want and what kind of life you want, you'd be amazed at the things that can happen, and you can get through anything that you're going through.
The mind is the hardest part because there's society's version of what life should be like. And so if you can, I can like literally tell you the stereotype of what a 40-year-old woman should have by the time she's 40, right? And when your life looks different from that, and it's not what society considers successful or ideal, then that makes you feel like you're even more behind. But the truth is there's no ideal. That's all just a story we're telling ourselves. And so starting over is hard with all those pressures as well. I can relate to that too, of feeling, my God, I'm 41 years old. I'm not married. I've never had kids. I'm starting over again, and I'm looking around, and the ideal is for to have a family and be like happy with your partner and have three children and live in a beautiful home. And it's like all of that BS, essentially, it weighs on you, especially when you're emotionally drained, right? And then you think that that is what would make you happy or that is what you should be doing. But rest is really the most important thing. I don't know if you can relate to that, but just resting and like working through it one day at a time, and then things start shifting.
Exactly. One healthy habit at a time. Start eating better. Start, taking care of your peace, protecting your peace. One small financial step at a time. Just little things that you can start doing, one step at a time, not trying to do it all at one time. That's where you're going to get overwhelmed, is if you feel like, oh man, I need to change, but I need it to happen right now. Well, I've got news for you. It took a long time to get to where you're at. It took me years and years. So it took some time to get back or to get to where I am today. One healthy habit, one small financial step at a time, one boundary at a time, learning to say no to things that do not serve you peace and happiness, and just learning to say no. Small boundaries are a big thing. And then, the safe relationships with your family and your, siblings or your kids or whatever it is. Those are safe relationships. Even though you don't want to maybe admit to how you've been living, those are your safe relationships. And then just one small goal at a time. Just hit, I just started making small goals for myself every day of, what I wanted to be. Sometimes it was just getting through the day, but if you start making those small goals and just so you can start practicing those wins again.
Feel overwhelmed by how much of your life needed rebuilding? Because what parts of your life did you have to rebuild after everything was kind of said and done?
I had to literally rebuild my whole identity. I mean, I had to, financially, I was in massive financial debt, from being diagnosed with breast cancer at 50 years old, having to have 10 surgeries. I had insurance, but insurance only pays so much. You still have to pay a portion of all of that. And so I was, not only living in all of these horrendous situations, I had now financial debt over my head. I had, just no self-worth about myself, no self, confidence in myself. And so I was literally starting from ground zero, you know, trying to learn who I was again. I knew she was in there somewhere, but I needed to find her. And, you know, I just started realizing that, you know, not everybody deserves access to me. I was giving all of me to everybody else and leaving nothing on the table for me. And I got to the point where I just decided that not everybody deserves access to me. And I really had to rewire my brain to that. And that's where the boundaries come in. And that's where saying no comes in, you know, realizing that every opportunity that comes ahead of you, like in front of you, is not a healthy opportunity. And I was tired of going down those roads of, you know, this opportunity is coming up, but, and I took it and it was unhealthy for me. And so I was paying for the price for all of that, just so everybody else could be, you know, peace and, you know, happy with the situation. But in the end, I wasn't.
Yeah, it's like putting yourself first for the first time ever.
Right. And then, saying, yeah, not every relationship deserves a second chance. You know, you tell yourself, you know, well, maybe just a second chance, you know, hearing all that. Now, some relationships do not deserve a second chance. There's situations where you just can't come back from certain situations. And no, not all relationships deserve that second chance.
Mm-hmm. I learned to really pay attention to behavior. And so people can speak all they want, but there's little glimmers of behavior in there that prove, like, hold them to their integrity of what they're saying and what they're doing. And so that's how I started gauging that, is like, people can say whatever they want, but unless I see action in the way that, like, they're preaching, then I can't trust that anymore. I mean, it's hard, right? Because people judge you for that, and they call you selfish, and they say all the things that to make you feel guilty or shameful of why aren't you giving me a second chance, or why don't you want me in your life anymore? And it takes like real strength to stand by the new life that you're choosing.
It does. I mean, starting over taught me that, you know, I was protecting my peace more so than, just realizing that was way more important than keeping everyone comfortable. You know, before, when I was living through all of those traumas and all of those, you know, that survival mode era of my life, I always put everybody else's comfort before my own peace. And so when I started healing, I realized that I needed to put my own peace and protect it and not worrying about if everybody else was comfortable. I decided that, you know, decisions that I made, you know, before, when you live in survival mode, it creates urgency to make decisions now, to act now, to do this now, you're just constantly in a state of urgency. And I paused. I started pausing before reacting instead of just reacting. I started thinking long-term about my life instead of just short-term of how this is all there is to my life. No, I wanted something long-term. I wanted happiness. I wanted peace. And so thinking the long-term and then just, you know, avoiding panic and just, you know, it takes work, but it's your peace is so much more important than living that way.
When everything is broken, essentially, and I don't like that word, actually, when everything is, I guess, unorganized, how do you even decide what it is that you're going to go after first?
I think when I first started healing, it was just protecting my peace. I wanted to find me again. I knew that if I could find the glimpses of me that I lost, everything was going to be okay. So, you know, when people are living in survival mode and they live in, you know, fight or flight mode every single day, they lose themselves in all of the abuse, the caregiving, there's illnesses. There's, you know, there's so many different types of survival mode that you can be living in, toxic relationships. You know, start asking yourself, what do I enjoy? I don't enjoy what I'm doing now. I'm just doing it to make everybody else happy and make everything smooth so that there's no big horrendous thing that's going to come up later. And what matters to me? You know, I was able to ask myself, what matters to me? I've always thought about what matters to everybody else, but what actually matters to me in my life? And starting to realize who I was as a person without living in survival mode.
Yeah. It's difficult because when you come out of fight or flight, yeah, your body is like completely exhausted. And so do you remember a day where even small tasks felt overwhelming, like where it was like getting out of bed was difficult. Making breakfast felt difficult. Like, was that kind of what it was like at the beginning?
Everything felt difficult. Everything I did felt difficult. Just getting up in the morning sometimes was hard. I wanted to stay in bed. I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to even face the day. But I knew that that was part of the healing and the, you know, getting back to me. I couldn't just face my life away, laying in bed, feeling sorry for myself, crying over spilt milk, so to speak. You know, that part of my life was already lived. It was already done. I couldn't go back and say, what if I did this? What if I did that? You know, you can live your whole life in wondering about what ifs and what if I would have done this differently. But it's just not, you have to go forward. You have to look in the front, you know, not the rear view mirror, but through the windshield and just go forward. You can't look back and keep asking yourself that. I think a lot of people get caught up in, you know, feeling ashamed, feeling the guilt, feeling that they look at this, what I've made, this just this mess that I've made in my life. But once you get past that point of, you know, living like that and just looking forward, I think it gets a lot easier day by day.
Definitely. Definitely. And it's slow. Like, it's a slow process. So it makes it even harder because human beings want everything so quickly.
Yeah.
Usually doesn't happen with like breakthroughs. It happens like little things at a time. So I was one of the unfortunate ones who had long haul COVID. And I remember I was training for a marathon. I could run like 15 miles a day. And then all of a sudden I got COVID and I couldn't walk to the bathroom without being out of breath and was exhausted. And the anxiety was like, I can't even explain what it was like. But once I started kind of getting a little bit better, then I would make it to the mailbox and walk up and down the stairs. Those were realistic steps for me. Like, you know, it was like one thing at a time, 2 hours of rest at a time. So it's like you learn to live in the present, essentially.
Right,
and then eventually things start getting better, but it doesn't happen quickly.
And there's a season of grief too. You can grieve, you know, what you lost and still be able to be excited for what you're building. They can both exist at once, actually. I never thought they could before, but they actually can. Yeah, you can grieve for what you lost.
So are you saying like you fantasized about your past life, like the past, even though it was not right for you, even when you're building the future?
I grieved, I think, for the years that I lost, the years that I lost of my life giving to people that didn't deserve me. Just, you know, for situations I stayed in for so long that, you know, I should have left a long time before I did. I grieved that. I didn't grieve for the mess I made in my life. I grieved for just the years that I wasted. You know, I could have done so much with my life. I'm knowing now on this other side how life can actually be and how it's supposed to be and how real that's supposed to be and how you're supposed to be treated. That's what I grieved for. Other than that, no, never did I grieve over, you know, the life that I lost, because if I didn't lose that life, I wouldn't have the life that I have now.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't blame you if you did. I feel like humans are built for connection. And so, for example, I've been through abusive relationships in my early days. And when I was rebuilding, I did miss certain aspects of that person because we still had good times together. You know, we wouldn't have been together unless there was a connection or something between us that brought us together. And I think that's part of the universe's lessons, like what we as humans are brought here to learn, as we're supposed to go through these times, good, bad, whatever. I don't like to label them. They're just experiences, but they teach us something. They teach us profound things. And so I found myself missing aspects of him, even though it was so like toxic.
Right.
It was almost like missing the chaos, you know, missing the charge, because when you're on your own and building a normal, quote unquote, normal, healthy life, right, it's kind of boring.
Right. It is. And you're right. There was, you know, like through my situations, my marriage and my relationship I was in, there was good times, especially my second relationship. Yeah. I really, you know, I loved him. I really did love him. And there was good times, really good times. When it was good, it was really good. So when it was bad, it was really bad. And Yeah, you do. You miss that person even though you think, why? Why am I missing this person? Or why is this song taking me back to this place? Well, because there was all, not all bad. There was good times too. But so yeah, your brain does get wired to remember those things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, do you remember like celebrating little things? Is that how you started like the process of healing, I guess? Because
I
without
did,
celebrating the little things, yeah.
right. I mean, when you start protecting your peace and be able to just say no to other people, not worry so much about what other people think or that they're comfortable and you're not, you start celebrating wins, like, oh, I made it through the day without a break, breaking down and crying and or I was able to sleep through the night instead of being awake half the night. I was never able to sleep before when I was going through all this. I was always up and down. My mind was constantly working overtime, never a chance for it to shut down. And so you start celebrating those small wins. I slept through the night. I was able to get through the day without breaking down. I was able to not actually, think about, all of the bad things and focus on what's ahead of me and what's going to be good. Starting over with nothing really teaches you what matters in life. It really does. It's not appearances that matter. It's not being perfect. It's not pretending anymore, pretending that you're this person when you're really not. I tended to always pretend in certain situations, that I was this person when I actually wasn't. Just dealing or settling for whatever was there because it made somebody else happy. I just, it's strange how your mind works.
Totally, absolutely. And I feel like people say people can change everything for you. So you then met a very important person in your life,
I did.
and you are in a new relationship. And so how did meeting someone new change the healing journey or impact it for you?
First, I was scared because when I met Jason, our soul, I mean, like I said on previous episode, our soul's connected, not with butterflies in our stomachs and not with, he didn't try to impress me. He didn't try to, none of that. It was all just small talk and bringing me back to myself, grounded again. He had went through some things as well, and we just started talking, and it just, our souls met each other there. And at first it was scary because I thought, okay, he's gonna leave. This isn't gonna work. This is, when we started getting closer, I got scared. He called me out on it, and he knew exactly. It was like he almost knew me better than I knew myself. He said, if we're gonna make this work, we have to talk. You have to open up to me. You have to talk. You're safe with me. I'm not leaving. This is for real. And so he started slowly, just tearing down those walls that I had built thick around my heart and around my soul. And so, yeah, it was scary, but at the same time, it was the most beautiful thing that I've ever witnessed. I thought I knew what love was before. I thought I was in love, and I thought this was the way it was supposed to be, but it's nothing compared to what I have now and what a real man it is and how he treats me and how he listens. And it's everything unconditionally. It's not any conditions attached to it.
Yeah. Was it hard to trust kindness and consistency at first?
Yes. And that's, I think, was the hardest part was, I knew that, we were starting this relationship, but I always kept shutting down. I pulled myself back. And because I didn't try, I was hard to trust somebody when you've lived in this chaotic, abusive situations. It's hard to trust anything. But slowly, I just, with patience, a lot of patience from him, a lot of, just letting me in my own time, but knowing and reassuring me that I was safe. I wasn't in any harm's way. He wasn't leaving. No matter how bad it got, he's not leaving. And so, worth almost 3 years in at the end of this month, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and the worthiness piece as well. Like for me, I had to teach myself that I was worthy of things that were beautiful. Like I was open to receiving amazing things without being in control. And so when I like started over in my own way, it was like I didn't trust people. And I thought that if I wanted the life that I wanted, I would have to do it all myself. And so
Right.
learning to like split the, like, I don't have to carry this alone anymore kind of thing. And letting someone else in, letting people help me, receiving
Right.
gifts, that was challenging for me. Did you find that challenging as well?
Yeah, it was challenging because I still, there's still that part of you that feels like, am I really worthy of that? You know, is this really for me? You know, do I deserve this? But now I just, I don't know. Yeah, it was hard at first, but now it's more, you know, with working through everything together, it's so much easier. I know that I'm worth it. I know that I deserve happiness. I know I deserve peace. I know I deserve the love that he's giving me. Yeah, it was foreign at first, really foreign. I've never experienced it before, so it was all new to me, and it was very foreign to me from coming from where I came from.
Do you think people give up too quickly because they expect healing to look different or be perfect or easy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it would be easy to give up and resort back to that same old familiar grounds, but healing doesn't happen overnight when you built half of your life on, you know, the chaos and the destruction that I did with me. I lost my identity, like I said, and it doesn't happen overnight trying to, you know, heal. It takes work. It's nothing comes for free, right? It takes work. It takes stick to it. Stay the course. Don't sway from that course because something on the other side is waiting for you, waiting to, you know, just a beautiful life is waiting for you, something that you deserve. Everybody deserves to live a peaceful, fulfilling life, not a life of destruction and living in survival mode every single day and just settling for that.
For sure. For sure. Can you remind everyone about where you came from?
Sure. Yeah. My name is Candy again, obviously, but I lived half of my life. I'm 54 now. I lived half of my life in abusive relationships, physically and mentally. I was married for 21 years to my high school sweetheart, actually. Got married young, had babies young, and just, it was an abusive relationship, and both physically and mentally. Got divorced after 21 years. Got into another relationship that was mentally abusive. It wasn't so much physically, but mental was the worst. And I say this all the time, I'd rather be, you know, bruises heal, but mental sticks with you forever. I still have days where I get taken back sometimes to situations. And so the mental abuse was hard. He went to prison for what he did to me, had a lot of legal things I had to work through. Then I was diagnosed with breast cancer at 50 years old and just got a rude awakening, pretty much just slapped me in the face and life just stopped for a second. And I just asked myself, in the mirror and said, I need to change. I need to change because now my body's given out on me after all of this. So a little bit about myself. Decided to write a book, a memoir. It's called Never Too Far Gone. It's a story about my life, what I lived, what I went through. I wrote it because I realized that there are people every single day living what I did or have lived it. And I just wanted it to be an inspiration and encouragement for every person that has lived it or is living it, that you are never too far gone. No matter what circumstance you're in, no matter what season in life you're in, you are not too far gone. And you can absolutely get to the other side with the work and with the stick to it and with just believing in yourself. And today I have a beautiful life. 3 years in with the love of my life, and we're happy. I have two grandsons. They're amazing, and two kids that are grown and just doing amazing in life, succeeding. And I couldn't be more happy with my life now. You can get my book by going to Amazon, or you can just Google it. It's Never Too Far Gone by Candy Keffler. It's on a lot of different platforms. My website is candykeffler.com. So come visit me. Come talk to me. Slide into my messages, just send me an email, anything. And I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to have a conversation with you.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Your story is really inspiring, and you've been through a lot, and you're just a testament that life can get better, like no matter how bad it is. And I think that's really inspiring that you're coming on to podcasts and putting yourself out there in articles and just sharing it with the world, because it can be really scary to do that as well. So thank you so much for doing that and being so open to that. What do you want to say to to the person out there that might feel ashamed that they're not further along, or even to the person that may be starting over again?
Say that maybe the season that you're in isn't punishment. Think that that way. Maybe it's actually a foundation for the life that is truly waiting for you, that you're meant to live. Rock bottom can become an actual solid ground. I thought, you know, rock bottom, you know, was it for me, but maybe that rock bottom is your solid ground you've been waiting for. When you, that makes you decide to have a different life, to choose differently, just to go after that life that you know that you deserve and that you can have.
Yeah, that's beautiful advice. Thank you so much for being here again today and for sharing more of your story. Like I said, it's really amazing and inspiring that you're doing that. So we appreciate it so much.
You're welcome. Glad to do it.
Yeah. So if you're listening out there and your life feels overwhelming, here's what you need to hear. You don't have to rebuild your entire life today. You don't need a full plan. You don't need all the answers. All you need is the next step. So Candy's episode today reminded us that rebuilding your life isn't about becoming perfect overnight. It's about choosing again and again not to give up on yourself. So if this episode resonated with you, you can find Never Far Too Gone in the show notes. And if you feel like this episode can benefit someone, please share it with them so they too can feel inspired to keep going. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Take care. Bye.